Welcome to the documentary from the BBC World Service, where we report the world, however difficult the issue, however hard to reach. Podcasts from the BBC World Service are supported by advertising.
Hello, I'm Sumi Somaskanda from the Global Story Podcast, where we're looking at America's relationship with China. Diplomacy between the world's two largest economies remains characteristically choppy. But could the result of the U.S. presidential election unlock a calmer future? The Global Story brings you unique perspectives from BBC journalists around the world. Find us wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to the documentary in the studio from the BBC World Service. This is a series that gets in the minds of some of the world's most creative people. I'm Alan Whedon, and I'm about to meet Mia Lehrer, a landscape architect who wants to resurrect the Los Angeles River.
Now it's time to really say the river can come back.
This is LA's 89.3, LA's.com.
And yes, LA does have a river running through it. See, unlike the Hudson, the Thames, or the Seine, LA's main waterway isn't exactly the city's calling card. That's because most people seeing the river for the first time, including LA Times journalist Pat Morrison, don't recognise it as a river.
When I came here, and the first time I started driving around when I was 16, I crossed this gulch, this concrete gulch, and there was a sign, maybe the size of an index card the debating society uses, that says Los Angeles River, and I thought, no, come on.
To the naked eye, most of the river actually looks like a storm drain. And that dissonance between what most people think a river should look like versus what the LA River actually is has meant that it's long been a symbol of the surreal. Or, to adapt Crater Face's most famous line in the film Grease, when it comes to the look of the LA River, the rules are, there ain't no rules. For most of its modern life, the LA River's been made to play something other than itself. A place for car races, murders, and music videos. Like in Grease, actually, when Sandy, played by Olivia Newton-John, watches from the river's concrete banks as Danny, played by John Travolta, speeds along the hard riverbed in a pivotal drag race with Craterface. Or in Point Blank and other LA noir films, which use the riverbed's stark, desolate concrete in scenes depicting cold-blooded killing. And let's not forget the roll call of music videos where the river cameos, with the likes of Madonna, Kendrick Lamar, and Pharrell Williams all gracing the concrete. Now, you'd be hard-pressed to find another river with that many screen credits, but like a star who's fallen on hard times, only to rise again, there are those who want a similar Hollywood comeback for the river.
I'm thinking of the scene in Princess Bride where the wizard says, mostly dead is not completely dead. And there can still be a river life to it. When you look at Paris, the Seine is paved. It has romance, it has style, it has grace to it. All those things could happen to the Los Angeles River.
There are Angelenos who want their river to be something other than a filming location. This includes the landscape architect Mia Lehrer, whose studio lies a short distance away from where John Travolta slammed on the gas. For Mia, it's high time the river plays a new role.
Right now it all feels very compartmentalized, but now it's like it has to develop a new character.
Mia's landscape architecture studio, Studio MLA, is located on the east bank of the Los Angeles River, near downtown. The studio sits within a former steel rolling factory, a vast space about 27,000 square feet, which is home to the studio's staff, local bird life, and many public events. And on my visit, the factory's large roller door was left open, framing a view of the city Mia fell in love with since first moving to Los Angeles in the 1970s.
The blue sky, the palm trees, the mountains, it reminded me of my home in the tropics of Central America in many ways.
Mia was born in El Salvador to European parents, but migrated to the US in the 1960s, following the outbreak of civil war across Central America. By the time she started graduate school at Harvard University, There was no other choice but landscape architecture. Following one fateful encounter with the drawings of Frederick Law Olmsted, the famed designer of New York's Central Park.
And I look at these drawings and I'm thinking, what is this? Like, what profession? Like, how do I learn more?
After finishing her studies, she's developed a reputation for transforming parts of LA others wouldn't touch.
For me, I don't know if I'm just a sort of a glutton for punishment, but, you know, I went from an oil field, which is the Baldwin Hills. I worked on that master plan. After that, we worked on the El Toro Marine Base, which was a marine base in Orange County, also incredibly contaminated. And now it's turning into housing and a park, and it's really kind of alive. And then I end up with the La Puente, one of the largest landfills in the country.
Throughout her career, Mia has returned to one of the most complex parts of the city, the Los Angeles River. And getting this river right has been an alluring project for many landscape architects before, including Frederick Law Olmsted.
He came to LA and did a master plan for the LA River. Yes.
Those plans, dating back to 1930, never came to pass, leaving others to finish his work. But the river Olmsted wanted to see would be unrecognizable by the decade's end. And to understand why, I had to get out of Mia's studio and take a short history lesson.
Who killed the Los Angeles River? And why? And is it really dead?
That's Pat Morrison again from the LA Times, who first spotted the concrete gulch of a river at 16. She's the author of the book Rio LA, which chronicles how the concrete got there in the first place. She met me on the banks of the river in a neighbourhood called Atwater Village. It's a place that has quintessential LA vistas, palm trees on the horizon, a big busy highway, and that grey concrete of the LA River beneath me.
We're on the east bank of the Los Angeles River, and I think both of those phrases probably perplex a lot of people who didn't know there was a river in Los Angeles, and the idea that we would consider a bank as something to talk about is worthwhile. There are parts of the LA River that are industrialized, that are ugly, and then there are parts that are hidden little pockets of beauty, and this could be one of them.
Before colonization, the river was known as Weenit, or Life Giver, among the area's indigenous Quiche Garbaleño inhabitants. And during rains, the river would change its course, meandering from the mountains to the sea.
During the dry season, there's not going to be much to it, and you may not even recognize it as a river because it may spread across a flat plain when it rains and not occupy a central channel. But when it does rain, for example, the Los Angeles River, with an immense watershed, the water can come shooting down out of the hills and the mountains faster than you can imagine and spread across that broad plain.
The river's unpredictability wasn't welcomed by a growing Los Angeles. After one massive flood on March the 2nd, 1938, the city had enough. On that day, which remains LA's wettest day on record, there was more rain dumped on the city than what was expected in a year. The results were devastating. The river broke its banks, taking out houses, bridges, and even caused that year's Oscars ceremony to be delayed by a week. There were simply too many actors marooned upstream. So the Army Corps of Engineers were enlisted to fix things once and for all. Their solution? Concrete, morphing the majority of the river into one giant flood control channel, never to meander like it once did.
Things that were here that were beautiful and wild and natural were inconvenient to the originators of Los Angeles, their idea of what the city should become. And so, just as Hollywood does in miniature, you remake reality, and Los Angeles was very much the city that remade its own reality.
How often do you take people to the river from the studio?
How often do I take people? Oh, whenever there's a guest, I make them go to the river. It's always fun.
It was my turn for Mia to show me the river outside of her studio. But it wasn't our lucky day.
Oh my goodness! We can't get to the river! How can this be?
On the studio's west side are several freight rail tracks which are still used. And of course, On the day that I visited, there was a freight train blocking our path.
I mean, that is one long, long train with double stacks. That is amazing and wonderful.
So we headed back inside where there's no escaping the river. It's all over the studio's polished concrete floor.
So how would you describe it to someone who can't see this?
So basically, it's an aerial photograph of the Los Angeles River with about 10 blocks on either side.
As Mia walked me across the printout, she called out mile markers as we went along. It's a simple way to orient yourself around the map, with mile zero at the river mouth and the concrete-clad headwaters at mile 52 up in the mountains. Mia's studio sits on about mile 20 in downtown. But as we walked along, she wanted to draw my attention further upriver.
This is about mile 26. So when people ask you, so where were you? Well, mile 26. Right. So Glendale Narrows, for example, where you're going to be going, is somewhere in this area, right in here, where it turns.
Okay.
Mia sent me north to meet her friend and collaborator, Stephen Appleton.
Yeah, I always tell people, hey, this is not just your car chase river, so give it a shot.
He's a visual artist who has a small studio on the river's west bank in a neighbourhood locals refer to as Frogtown, and it's a location that first allowed Stephen to see a different river.
It was the first time I really discovered what I call the theatre of the river, you know, the stage of the river. You're down in there. If you go down there, all the sounds of the city are cut off. It's as if you're on the stage. You know, the performer knows it's kind of quiet on the stage compared to being in the audience because sound projects up. And I got down in there and I was just hearing the river. And I said, wow, this is an extraordinary experience. And then I was seeing things. From that moment forward, I thought, that's where my studio ought to be.
And this part of the LA River has a claim to fame. It's one of the rare parts where the concrete hasn't been able to stick. The water table is simply too high. And that's left what experts call a soft bottom, which simply means there's a natural riverbed here, which has allowed nature to run its course.
So we are 5 minutes drive from the most dense areas of Los Angeles, but we're looking across what's largely a landscape of plants and trees. Pretty much all the plants that we're looking at this moment belong here. We have a couple of big willow trees here. A white willow, yeah, these are white, and maybe that one's black willow. And then these are all various types of native reeds and rushes over there, all that low-lying stuff. In there, this evening, you'll be hearing frogs call. They're a chorus frog, very small frog, Baja California chorus frog. And we're hearing a lot of birds here. It's nesting season now, so we've seen all kinds of displays. I've never seen this before, actually, but I saw blue herons doing the dance the other day, which was quite amazing.
And it's this part of the river that might be unrecognizable to you if you've only ever seen it on screen. Because around here, you're given the chance to see the river meander, albeit briefly.
One of the things that's very unique about this is the Los Angeles River in this section is this funny double bend shape in Elysian Valley. It kind of S's and comes back. When I've looked at maps from before or around about the time that this is becoming Mexico, that shape exists here then. So what are we looking at here? We're really looking at the remnants and the continuation of a historical natural pattern and ecology. And I think that, either intuitively or through study, is what gets everybody so excited about this spot.
Unfortunately, most of the LA River doesn't look like what's around Frogtown. That's because Los Angeles's urban grid presses right up against the river's concrete edges. So you can't turn the clock back and bring back the old meandering river without raising flood risk.
So once you start basically changing the face of those walls, you have to be careful.
But you can still adapt its current form to do something more than just protect the city from floods. And practically speaking, this is where the river's edges can come in handy.
By an edge, I don't mean just promenades or bikeways, 52 miles of bikeways in both directions. But really, the parks that can come from the city fabric that can be carved out to have a certain personality that is associated with water and the river, that is a place for decompression, that is a place for habitat, it's a place for people.
You'll find some of these ideas rolling out on the upreaches of the LA River right now. Because in 2020, the studio finished a master plan for that part of the river. But as the studio discovered, there was more to look after.
There was a confusion where people would say, but I live near a river. What river is that? It's when we realized that the tributaries had been forgotten.
And look, it's easy to mistake the tributaries for the LA River if you're not super familiar with it. There's one called Bull Creek, which is often mistaken for the LA River in Hollywood history. That's because it played a leading role in Terminator 2, where you might remember California's former governor, Arnold Schwarzenegger, tearing down a dry concrete channel on a motorbike.
It was interesting, especially when you saw the movies and you saw the governor coming down and really crashing into a bridge and all the wonders of movie making.
But as Mia and her team began to work on the master plan, they realized they had to meet a pressing community need, one that was a matter of life and death.
We were sitting in a room with people having a conversation about the future of this project and having people say, what would you like to see there? And asthma came up as a factor. And I said, do any of you have asthma? And like of the 20, like 12 lifted their hand.
So this job wasn't just about improving the tributaries. It was also about improving the quality of life for the communities living along these waterways.
Working with the school district, we also had a lot of success in terms of planting trees in the areas where there were trails that were going along the tributaries that were in concrete. And, you know, the young people that go to school there who have been waiting for something to happen will be able to see that in the next few years in their lifetime.
Hello, I'm Sumi Somaskanda from the Global Story Podcast, where we're looking at America's relationship with China. Diplomacy between the world's two largest economies remains characteristically choppy. But could the result of the U.S. presidential election unlock a calmer future? The Global Story brings you unique perspectives from BBC journalists around the world. Find us wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to the documentary In the Studio from the BBC World Service. I'm Alan Whedon, and I'm searching for the next chapter of the Los Angeles River with landscape architect Mia Lehrer. Now, over the course of Mia's career, getting to those next chapters has sometimes been a case of two steps forward, one step back.
It's hard. You know, it's hard. It takes open-minded politicians, open-minded city officials.
And of course, people with cash.
In Los Angeles, everything is so much bigger. Everything costs so much more. That was like, how do you just do 1 mile of this or 2 miles, right?
And when it comes to working in the Los Angeles River, you're also navigating a complex web.
When we talk about the river, we should make it rivers plural, because the river is a different thing in every community it passes through. Most of it goes through the city of Los Angeles. A lot of that is where you see some of the beautiful spectacles with the trees and the rocks and the waterfowl. But in other places, farther downriver, those communities can really only exist because the river has these almost Egyptian-scale walls to them that protect those low-lying communities from the water that still thunders through the Los Angeles River every winter or so. So every part of the river has to have a different conception and attitude. And, of course, there are so many agencies, city government, county, state, federal government involved in this, environmental groups, welfare organizations, concerns that if you really make the river a beautiful place again, what happens to the people in the poor neighborhoods? that border the river. If it gets regentrified, and a flat can cost $1 million because it has a river view. So there are very great numbers of interests involved. But people are determined to make something of this river.
So when we talk about revitalizing the LA River, there's not going to be one author or one style of renewal. A design team working for architect Frank Gehry, for example, has proposed platform parks over the river as a way to carve out new public spaces along the river while maintaining flood defences. But like all built design work, it's going to take some time to implement, which is something Mia knows all about, having worked on the river for decades.
This is like undoing a project and doing a new project on top of a project with just a different objective.
In 2007, the studio completed an LA River Revitalization Master Plan for the city of Los Angeles. The plan identified hundreds of projects to restore habitat, carve out new public parks, and improve the river's health. And there's one park that managed to pass through all the hoops of LA city making in a riverside neighborhood called Sherman Oaks. On what was once the riverside maintenance path, there's now a riverside trail serving people on bikes and on foot. So I went north to about mile 37 of the river, where I met Mia's colleague, Jan Dyer, who is the studio's director of river projects.
Really, the low-hanging fruit was to take these maintenance paths and turn them into multi-purpose paths, trails, places for, like we just passed, you know, moms with their kids, people riding their bikes, or just out for a stroll, walking your dog, getting your steps in for the day. So this one is approximately a half a mile in length. We have these gabion, which are stone walls on one side. Behind those walls, there's a swale, which captures and treats the water as it runs off from the streets before it enters the river.
Behind those walls is a verdant stand of native trees, including sycamores, alders, and oaks, which also helps to treat stormwater runoff. But these trees do many other things. And during our chat, we saw them in action.
And I see an egret in the river. They kind of remind you of what a stork might look like. So even though the river here is channelized, it's what's called a box channel, which means it has a horizontal bottom and two vertical sides. But you still get a lot of habitat, especially when you plant native plant material, which attracts the wildlife. So it's pretty exciting to see them here. They've adapted, you know?
The ultimate goal is to link up the greenways across the LA River. But what remains slow-going are the difficult connections. We are stitching greenways over or under freeways and freight rail. But what the studio has done, with its master plan, is give public agencies a flexible template to improve the river.
As a landscape architect, we don't own the land. We're not the public agency that can implement this project or a series of projects. We do whatever we can to help see projects getting implemented. It's really for the benefit of the entire city, not just us as a firm, as a revenue stream. Yeah, we care. This is where we live, and this is the area we really want to improve and better.
Now, it's been months since I last had a chat to Mia. And in that time, the 2024 Paris Olympics has come and gone. And all that talk about rehabilitating the Seine reminded me of LA. Because in 4 years' time, that city is going to get one of the biggest shows of all, the Olympics. So when I caught up with Mia over Zoom, I asked her if the impending Games deadline would fast-track the river's fortunes.
Paris actually was an example of how using existing parks and other assets in a city could be integrated into the games. And it was wonderful to see. And it's, I think, there were many people from Los Angeles that went to understand better how it all worked out. So Paris really showed off extremely well. And I think LA is going to be in a good place.
As for the studio's projects along the river, many are still in the design development phase, including a project converting a stormwater basin into a public park and wetlands, a few miles upstream from where I met Jan.
It's moving, meaning the funding seems to be in place.
While funding for design has been secured, further funding is needed for construction. And Mia's hoping that'll come from a statewide $10 billion package for climate and the environment,
if California's voters pass it.
That proposition is going to be on a ballot in the next 3 months. And we're already talking about having a few meetings where the community of landscape architects and architects and planners realizes that it will make a difference if there is substantial support.
It's one of many projects along the river that make up the patchwork quilt that is revitalization. And while it may feel at times as though this is like getting upstream without a paddle, that hasn't stopped people from hoping for a better Los Angeles River.
I think of those dolls you had when you were little that were weighted at the bottom and you'd punch it and it would jump right back. And there's so many people like that who are involved with the river, people like Mia, people like Frank Gehry, who want it to succeed, who are indefatigable, people who come out every year and clean it in the Grand Limpieza, the big cleanup of the river. And I think those people can prevail against so much negativity and so much of the lassitude that plagues official agencies, especially on a project as enormous as this.
I couldn't leave LA without hearing the call of the Baja California frog that Stephen Appleton mentioned over in Frogtown. He told me to come here just after dusk and listen to the theatre of the river come to life. So as I sat by the banks, with that wide purple-blue sky sitting above me, a gradient that's drawn so many to Southern California, you're reminded about what the river could be once again. A life-giver, not just a Hollywood backdrop.
It's a confluence. We have these paths that are meeting one another, and they all have force.
Let's please show the world that LA can do something other than just mess about and hope that we're so pretty nobody's going to notice if we don't get anything else right.
When you think of LA, a lot of people who grow up here and come here think of the Santa Monica Mountains, Griffith Park, the Hollywood Hills, and you start looking around and efforts were made to protect those areas and to keep the mountain lion alive and to do all these things. And now it's time to really say the river can come back.
You've been listening to the documentary In the Studio from the BBC World Service, which was produced and presented by me, Alan Whedon. Special thanks to David King.
Hello, I'm Sumi Somaskanda from the Global Story podcast, where we're looking at America's relationship with China. Diplomacy between the world's two largest economies remains characteristically choppy. But could the result of the U.S. presidential election unlock a calmer future? The Global Story brings you unique perspectives from BBC journalists around the world. Find us wherever you get your podcasts.